stand on his word, he will rain down.
Right? Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of the word, right? The spirit of truth. So if we stand on his word, stand on his truth, and we, as Brother Daniel said earlier, if we gather here and make him welcome, he comes. And that's what we want to do. So we certainly just want to welcome to the house of the Lord. Let the musicians go and have their seats. Appreciate each one coming and being faithful and being here in the house of God. You see people come, you see people go, and then you see the ones who are willing to stay. And I've said this many times, you know, we love each other. We like to get together and fellowship around different things. But the single most important thing that really brings us all together is the Word of God that we feast upon. Because, you know, if all I had in connection with you was just a fellowship about hunting or something like that, that probably wouldn't bring us together like we do. And so it must be that first and foremost, the very first thing that we have in common, and that is the thing that makes us flock together to begin with, and that is the Word of God. So we're happy for that because this is something the Lord has done. We didn't do it ourselves, right?
Right.
See, so I know, trying to think of something I don't really like to eat. I don't like Reuben sandwiches. Well, I didn't make a decision. Well, I'm just not going to like it. It's just I don't have an appetite. So my Creator made me the way I am, and I don't have an appetite for Reuben sandwiches. My wife does, and so do my kids. But see, I didn't intellectually say that, and I like pizza, and I like beans. I didn't intellectually make a choice to say I'm going to like this. It's something's given to me. And God has given to us a hunger and a thirst for the word of life, right? Living water.
Yeah.
He put that there, and that's why that we feast on the things that we do. So we're happy for that. We're happy to know that he is the cord that holds us all together.
Amen.
And so we're glad to be with you this morning. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. First, we'll read one scripture in Luke chapter 19. I told the brothers this morning, I don't know if it's ever going to cool off in you. Really interesting. Global warming, right? Oh, I tell you. I don't know. I guess the Lord, you know, Brother Rev said the Lord had a sense of humor. He's called Herod a fox, you know, because he was talking about the nature of a fox, you know. But so, you know, when you have truth, there's a lot of things that scare the world, a lot of things going on that we can kind of chuckle about because we know it's Satan frantically trying to establish something he's just not going to be able to do. Yeah. And so in a lot of ways, we can kind of chuckle about things like that. But then again, it is a very serious hour we live in, so we want to be diligent to our responsibilities. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. Well, something to be lost means it had to be found to begin with, right, before it was lost.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. We read a portion of this last week, but totally different thought this week. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And then all the people get turned there to their scriptures. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much." Remember, that's the bride. John represents the bride. Right. So the bride wept, right? "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, and in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen?
Amen.
We shall reign on the earth. Let's bow our hearts to him. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, in this service, Lord, we just want to open up our heart to you. We want to worship you, Lord, and just proclaim you, Lord, as the only one worthy to receive the honor, praise, and glory. And as your prophet said so many times, invoking the characteristics that only belong to you, the author of life and the giver of every good gift. And so, Lord, that we give that praise and that honor to you and recognize you that as having that and being the only one with those characters this morning, Lord. So we invite you and pray, oh God, that you'd come and speak to our hearts this morning as the author of life. Lord, that you'd speak within us and into our lives, Lord, a greater portion of this gospel and eternal life, Lord, that would just live within our hearts and beat within our hearts. We ask, God, that you'd help us this morning as we get into the ministry of the word. Cause each one of us to get ourselves out of the way. And Lord, let the deep call and speak to the deep. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And you can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about the Kinsman Redeemer. And I know that we've probably heard many sermons on Kinsman Redeemer, but we trust that maybe there will be something a little bit this morning that the Lord would speak to us that maybe perhaps we haven't noticed. That's not the only reason why we come. We don't want to be like the ones in the scriptures and come together all just simply because we want to hear some new thing.
Right.
We want to come and we want truth. We want to absorb truth into our lives that it would actually translate into a change of character within us and make us more like him. And so we pray that the Lord would do that now. And he's the author of those things. He's the quickener of the word. And so by his spirit, we know that he can quicken to us and do those things that he wants to do. So the Kinsman Redeemer. Now, how many believes? We know by the message, and thank God for a message, we know that God has given a promise to us, his elect, eternal life. And that promise was given to us, not yesterday or today, but it was given to us before the foundation of the world, right? He gave that was placed in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we, the Gentile people, would be that bride and would have that eternal life given to us. So we have that given to us as an inheritance. And so an inheritance that comes from God. And of course, God knew that we were going to be in this world and we were going to face all kinds of challenges. And so what he desired for us to have is walking in the Holy Spirit and walking in fellowship with him and having eternal life would come into jeopardy because of the fall of sin. He knew that. And so he made a way to help us out in that situation when we would have these troubles of life and come into this world as sinners and make mistakes and all that sort of thing. And so we want to talk about these things in the light of the Kinsman Redeemer this morning. Now we know, because of what I just said, that we were given this promise of eternal life from God, that we were placed by predestination in Christ before the world was, and yet we would come into this world lost and it'd have to be gained back. Because of that, God began to deal with man, and he lives out in types and shadows all these things we're so familiar with. He lived out types and shadows of exactly what we do spiritually. There's physically things that take place, that took place in the Old Testament and in Israel. It's a type of this. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. So when God called a people out, he called them out and he began to act out with Israel, this a type of this spiritual. So he calls the people and he gives to them a promise, a promised land. He gives them a place, and we've said so many times a promised land was a land flowing milk and honey. Everything they'd ever need was right there. So God began to play out in a natural people, starting with Abraham, all through the Old Testament, playing out what naturally what we are spiritually.
Yeah.
So they were given a promised land by God, and in that promised land, everything they'd ever need, they had right there. And the thing was that they needed to stay there in that promise and not let anything get between them and that promise, that they could hold that God-given position, that God-given inheritance. As long as they stayed there in righteousness like they should, then everything was fine.
Yeah.
And so they were given this inheritance, but sometimes, and you realize it was given to them by lineage, right? Not because they did this or did that, but it was given to them by birth and by lineage. They had this promise.
Yeah.
Okay? So have we. We've been given the promise of eternal life, not because we were good or weren't good, but by predestination, God has delivered that to us, and we're going to have it.
Amen.
And so God was going to put in place everything that needed to be there to make sure that if something came, brought that in jeopardy, we could be restored back to that promise. And so he acts this out in Israel. And so they were given a land by promise and by birth, and it was given to them by God. Not anything they did, but it was given to them by God as a promise. And so, but how many know that sometimes people do things and jeopardize their promise?
Right.
Israel did it over and over and over. If you read the Bible, you see what they did. So God had this law in the land of the law of the kinsman redeemer. So if the inheritance that was given to a man or to his family, if that land somehow was, he lost it because of bad stewardship or whatever, if he lost it, or if he himself became a slave, he had to be sold into slavery because of it. In other words, if something separated the man who that inheritance belonged to, if separated that inheritance from him, God had a way for that to be brought back together again. So if the inheritance was lost, or he became a slave, or if he died, God intended for that inheritance to stay in that family, in that gene seed line. Any of those things happened, God had something called the nearest kinsman or the kinsman redeemer, and that nearest kinsman had the responsibility to help his fallen brother out. Whether he had, the land had been sold because of financial difficulties, or if the man himself was sold into slavery, this kinsman redeemer had the responsibility and the power behind the law to act upon this one who could not help himself, to act upon the situation legally and restore that one back to his promise. And if he had died, there were things that could be done to make sure that land was not lost from that family, that it would be stay in that family. There was different things. And all this was done by a kinsman or the nearest kinsman. And they became, it became known as the kinsman redeemer. Because redeem is to bring back something was lost. So if you lost your inheritance, or if you were lost from your inheritance, this kinsman redeemer could step in and legally take action and restore you back, bring back to you your inheritance, or bring you back to your inheritance.
Right?
And so it was a kinsman redeemer that did this. Now, this was a type of Christ. We know these things, but this was a type of Jesus Christ because he is our near kinsman.
Right.
Because God was going to save us. God was going to give us the help that we needed. And God knew the way he was going to do it was that he was going to become flesh.
Right.
So he set the pattern that this help would be in the form of a kinsman, somebody like us. Because, you know, your kin is somebody like you, right? They're kin to you. They're flesh like you. So God was going to become flesh. So he established that it was a kinsman. And so he made the laws in the land to reflect spiritually what was going on. That when redemption was needed, this redemption would come through a near kinsman. Would be somebody just like you that you're familiar with, that's like you, that would be a kinsman redeemer. And so that shows you that our Savior had to become flesh, right? To be kinsman.
Right.
And if he was going to become flesh, he couldn't come through the fallen flesh method, so he had to come by virgin birth.
Right?
And then if it was by virgin birth, that contrasts against what happened in the garden.
Right.
So the serpent did have a seed,
right?
And God came another route. So all these truths begin to stack up, and we begin to see clearly what's going on, right? And so we possess the understanding to know how this works and how this redemptive plan works. And brother, sister, when you see that and you know exactly the way God does it, it sure gives you some real rejoicing and liberty to know what belongs to you, because you recognize your kinsman redeemer. So that was Jesus Christ. He is our kinsman redeemer, had to become flesh. And so by this, becoming flesh, he redeemed us back to God, gave us back the inheritance of eternal life that was given to us to begin with, right? But we come into the world lost. He gets us, redeems us back. Now, the kinsman redeemer had qualifications that he had to measure up to. So I'm going to read a little quote here. It's in the Breach. Brother Bram says, in the Bible, in the book of Ruth, as you read it, you'll find out that this person was called a Goel. G-O-E-L. And he was called a Goel, or it was the person that could meet the requirements. And the Goel must be able to do it, and he must be willing to do it. And must be a kinsman. Next to kin to do it. And God, our creator of spirit, became kinfolk to us when he became man in order that he could take our sin upon him and pay the price and redeem us back to God. And there it is. There is the Redeemer. Christ has redeemed us now, and we are redeemed, but he hasn't claimed his possession yet. That's what we're waiting on shortly for him to come and actually take us away, right? So you see there, this goal, this one who is a kinsman redeemer, there was requirements. One was that he could do it. He had to be able, had the power to do it, that he could do it. And one was that he would be willing to do it.
Yeah.
And but then also he had to be a kinsman. So there might be all kinds of people in Israel that could have helped somebody out and could help them and would help them.
Yeah.
But if that person was not a near kinsman to the one in trouble, he couldn't help. The law wouldn't recognize it. God wouldn't recognize it, right? We have all kinds of things come along and say, oh, you can be saved by this religion or by that religion, but God doesn't honor anything unless it comes through that kinsman,
right?
Which was Jesus Christ. No matter how you slice it, it comes back to Jesus Christ. This only form of salvation and redemption comes through him and what he's doing,
right?
That's the only form that it is. So he had to be able to do it and be willing to do it and had to be a kinsman. So now the focus here is on kinsmen. The fact that he had to be a kinsman. So what we see here is that the true redemption comes through flesh. Comes through one of us.
Yeah.
One like us. And so that's the theme here, because there's many who could and maybe many who would. Scriptures talk about, you know, it's a rare thing that somebody would die. You know, but while we were sinners, Christ did die for us, right?
Yeah.
So we understand that. So the focus is here is that it's the kinsman, it's someone who becomes one of us. God using human flesh to carry out his redemptive plan. Can we believe that?
Right.
Wherever, if you're like me, before you all day long, you got the mirror of God's word in front of you all day long, and you're looking at yourself and you see your failures. You see where you fall so short of what you want to be.
Right.
It's constantly that way. Just battle. I fight that more than I do anything else.
Yeah.
Because I want to be like Christ, and seem like the more I want to be, the harder that Satan fights through your flesh to keep you from doing it.
Right.
But I have this desire to want to be like him. And so can we believe that God can come down and through fallible flesh, he can actually do something through that fallible flesh that's infallible? That he can actually, that we could actually look in the mirror each day and say, look at that disgusting person standing there that I want to be so much better than what he is. But can we look beyond that and look at redemption that's taking place behind that and realize that not lying beneath that person you're looking at, lying inside them is a true gene of God that God is redeeming.
Right.
Can he do it? Sure he can do it. Can he take someone who's got failures and still work something right and bring redemption? And the answer is yes. And he's been doing it all through the ages. In the natural, through these things that we're talking about, and also spiritually speaking, God has done it over and over and over. So, can we believe that God can do a perfect work through imperfect flesh? Sure he can. And we have to be able to believe that he'll do that in our own walk each day, or we're not going to get very far. So we find out, as we read in the scriptures there a while ago, that Jesus Christ, his purpose, the Son of Man, his purpose was to come and save that which was lost, right? So he comes to save that seek and save that which was lost. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes to live in you, you'll do the same.
Yeah.
You know, his job just wasn't just to come and chit-chat, sit on the shores of Galilee and just enjoy a good time. His purpose, everything about his life was to bring back that which was lost.
Right.
To be that Redeemer. And he was our kinsman Redeemer. So everything about it. Sure, he might have been eating with his disciples one day and might have joked around and said, "Give me another piece of bread. I'm extra hungry today," or whatever. He could have done all those things, but that all was trivial. His purpose in life was to save that which is lost. And any person that comes in contact with the Holy Spirit, if he begins to live in you, then something rises up in you, and you constantly have before you a desire, a concern about those which are lost.
Right.
A burden for souls.
Right.
And I tell you, we could all probably use a better dose of that.
Amen.
That if he's living in us, then he is going about seeking to save that which was lost, seeking and looking for those that are lost. Right? So he lives in his people. Anytime he's living in his people, he comes into them to redeem them, and immediately as he's in them, then he begins to use them to work out redemption, to seek and to save and carry out. And so actually what you find out is that this great kinsman redeemer, as he comes and performs redemption and we become beneficiaries of that, the product of being a beneficiary is that he comes in and now he uses us to act out kinsman redeemer. We become that. We become where salvation, redemption is available. And it's always been this way. So we'll talk about it through the scriptures several places just to show you what we mean. So when he comes in, we do the same. So let's look at Abraham. When God got a hold of Abraham, immediately God began to deal with Abraham. And it wasn't just to save Abraham, but it was for all the family of the whole earth, anybody that could be saved, because he was going to be the father of faith, and all these nations to be blessed. So when we look at what God was doing in Abraham, it was more than what he just wanted to do in Abraham. God's working now in Abraham, way off for something he was going to do in the future for years and years to come. So he began to deal with Abraham, began to live out in Abraham, carrying out in his life things that were going to be used for redemption. You can even think about the fact that Abraham had the division or whatever. He didn't have the division, but Lot, they separated, and yet Abraham went and rescued Lot. You can think about those things. So, but you can think about Abraham, and you think about Joseph. There's one thing about all these that I want to point out here, is that these men, people who God uses for redemption or for the plan of redemption, ultimately Christ Jesus, because he's one that it is, but when he lives it in others, these people are a separated people. He calls people to separation. You know, Brother Ram preached a message called God's Word calls for total separation from unbelief.
Yeah.
No matter what form it's in.
Right. That's right.
It might be in your boss, it might be in your family members. But God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. And so, whenever he's using someone in redemption, he wants to act out the plan of redemption through somebody and use them to help somebody else. There's a pattern here that, first of all, that person has to separate. They have to be separate and separate themselves from the very ones that God's going to use them to redeem. Right? They're separate. They don't walk like that group. Because you got to be different than the world if God's going to use you to help save the world.
Yeah.
You can't walk like them. So God calls people into separation to be separate from the world and separate. And so Abraham, he called him out from his people to be a separate people and brought a separation from him and Lot and his dad and so forth. So there is separation, and then many times, pretty much, you could say that they're always hated and rejected. Always rejected by the very ones that God's going to use them to redeem. The same pattern I'm talking about.
Right.
So Abraham had to separate, and he was even despised, but yet God used him to save, to bring redemption. Joseph was the same way. Joseph was hated of his brethren, right? He was a type of Christ. Joseph was hated of his brethren and sold into Egypt. They rejected him, right? They rejected him, but God used him to preserve life. And so back here when he was having to be separated from his brethren, despised by his brethren, what was really going on there was not, it wasn't all about Joseph. It was about what God was going to do down the road with Joseph.
Yeah.
But then Joseph had to endure at that time that rejection in order for him to be a redeemer later. And Joseph had to be that separated person, true to the plan of God, or true to the things that God had called him true to. He had to be that, or there wouldn't be any way that God could use him for redemption.
Right.
Okay, same way with Abraham, same way with that. You know, if David would have been just like Saul, there wouldn't have been much God could do with him. See, so David had to be different. He had to be separated different than the rest.
That's right.
So what about Moses? Here's Moses comes along, and God was going to do something with Moses. It wasn't all about Moses. It was all about what God would do later on for a people that needed redemption. So he put his hand upon Moses. And yet the very one that God had put his hands upon became rejected by the people that God was going to use him to save.
That's right.
Right? So there's that pattern again. Jesus come along, right? He comes along, what's he going to do? God's going to use him to save, but in order to do it, he's got to be separate. He can't be part of that religious system. He can't be part of that. He's got to walk with God and the plan of God alone. What God was doing right then, he had to be the embodiment of the message of the hour right then, which he was the message.
Yeah, right.
He had to be embodiment of that. And then while he's at that, he's rejected. Mm-hmm. Anytime that you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution.
Yep.
But we've got to remember in those times of severe persecution, this is not for me, this is for those who are persecuting me.
Yeah, right.
Right? This is for those. When we had people leave this message, we stayed true to it and suffer the ridicule and persecution. Hold true to that, because you know that at some point those people are going to have to come back. And when they come back, we've got to be something they can come back to.
Right.
And if we compromise, what are they going to come back to? Because there's no redemption in being off the word.
Right.
There's redemption in being true with the word.
Right.
So we have a place just like these. We have a place where we have to stay in order for us to be a help to somebody else.
Yeah.
If we give in and give in to everything and be a compromise to the very message we know is right, we're not going to help anybody.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we ourselves aren't going to be in the place we want to be if we compromise. So Moses was the same way. God chose him, but he got rejected from his brethren, and then God turned around and used him to bring his people back. Jesus did the same. Look at the Apostle Paul. All rejected, yet God used him. And so there's a pattern there. Each one of them has had to be a separated people, and they were hated, and yet God used them to bring forth redemption. It's not that they were redeemers, but what God did through them brought redemption to the people they were sent to.
Yep.
Can you believe that God wants to send you to somebody? That he actually wants to use you to help somebody be saved that wouldn't be otherwise? Can you believe that?
Amen.
That if you can believe that and accept that, then you also have to accept the fact that those people for a while probably won't agree with you.
Right?
Right? And you'll have to stand alone and stay true to the word and not compromise. Or else, you won't help them. So, we see that. But each one of these men, as they were acting out this redemptive and becoming actually a kinsman redeemer. Why? Because God would take a person and send him to his people. He'd be a kinsman, somebody familiar. They were familiar. Isn't this the carpenter's son? How could he be anything? Right? That's the way it worked. His mom, his dad, we know this guy. He can't be him. A little guy from Kentucky, can't even speak right hardly. No, it can't be him. It was.
Right.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
It was Moses, the one they said, who made you a ruler over us? Well, it was him. Just a matter of time until they come to the place where they had to look up and they needed that one they were rejecting.
That's right.
Right? Just a matter of time. time until it all comes around. But before that time comes, there has to be a separation, a sanctification to the Word, a separation from the world, and a despising of the world, and hold that position. And then time will bring it around where that people who reject that will have to come to it and say, I need it.
Amen.
That's what happened. So each one of these men actually bridged a gap. Because in the case of Moses, the children of Israel had come into bondage, and they couldn't do anything to get themselves out. So God sends Moses, the one they rejected, he sends them along, him along, and he becomes the one who brings them out. God, living through him, performs redemption and brings them out, takes them over, and gets them out of Egypt. Right? So Moses bridged a gap for them.
Right.
They couldn't get out of that situation. They were moving along and they come to a cliff, and that cliff they needed to cross over and couldn't cross that chasm. There was a breach there, and so they couldn't go any further, and they were stuck in bondage.
Yeah.
And God sent Moses along, and Moses made a way. Moses was the way. The redemption that God brought through him was a way, and the people now escaped Egypt's bondage through that gap that was bridged by the kinsman redeemer, him acting out that redemption at the time. So it happened that way. Lot was captured by all those kings, and who was it that rescued him? Abraham.
That's right.
Right? Joseph was rejected by his brothers, and they're all, look what happened. Famine caught him and everything. And who was it that helped him get through the famine and helped the whole world at that time? See? It was all through Joseph. Jesus come along, the ultimate of this plan of redemption that we're talking about. That the very ones that people that reject him, he's still working for redemption for a lot of them, those who can be redeemed. Bring back those that can be brought back. And so each one of these people find themselves in a way where they can't go any further, and the one they rejected became the way back.
Yeah.
That's why I say it's so important for us to stay true to the Word right now.
Amen.
So that there are people who can be helped. Because if we don't stay true to it, we can't help them. So they bridged a gap. They went across, made a way across this breach, this chasm between them and what they needed to be. Now remember, in our day, there was a breach. Now remember that.
Amen.
There was a breach.
Amen.
And it's the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. And you know, without a message, we wouldn't even know that there was such a thing.
Right.
Even if we could see there were seven church ages and then the opening of seven seals, we wouldn't have known that there was a breach there.
Right.
But you realize the way it all worked out, because God is in the redemption process and he needs a kinsman redeemer to make a way, right? And so God had it arranged in such a place that after seven church ages was over with, the church couldn't go any further unless there came a kinsman redeemer.
Right.
And so they couldn't go any further, and what they needed was the opening of the seven seals, but they couldn't have it because that no one was worthy.
Yeah.
Right? No one was worthy, and so what they needed was a kinsman redeemer to come and somehow get us out of the mess of seven church ages and get us into the opening of the seals, which is the opening of the Word, that would call our names of redemption, that would take us out of seven church ages and rapture us into glory.
Yeah.
We needed that, and there was a chasm, and the world still has that chasm between them and redemption because they rejected Redeemer, the kinsman redeemer. So there was a great chasm in our day, and we needed a kinsman redeemer. We needed someone who could do it and somebody who would do it, but he had to be a kinsman. So he had to be a man. Don't choke on that. He had to be a man.
Right?
Now, I was reading a quote yesterday, and Brother Ram said in the breach, he said, since the seven seal book, it's the opening of the Word, since it is the Word that's to be opened, then there had to be a prophet, because the Word comes to prophets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And And so when it comes to the end of seven church ages, and you needed somehow to have those seven seals opened, it would have to be, we know the scripture says the lamb that does it, right? We give that. It was the lamb in Moses. It was the lamb in Abraham, right? It was God in all those men doing those things. But we needed the seven seals to be opened, and if it's opening of the word and the word coming, then there had to be a prophet. So it had to be someone who could do it. In order to do it, he had to be a prophet.
Right?
And he had to be somebody who would do it. Somebody who would make the choice to follow God and absorb all the criticism and be rejected by this world. He had to be somebody willing to do that. To take the reproach of the world saying, he's no good. Right? So he was had to be somebody who could do it, had to be a prophet, and he had to be somebody who would do it, and he had to be a man. And if he had those qualifications, if he met those qualifications, then God could use him to be kinsman redeemer. I'm not making Brother Ram deity.
Right.
I'm just telling you, God could do a perfect work through an imperfect vessel.
Right?
Right? So he was a prophet. And so that ministry coming on the scene today is the very thing that this church world needed. And guess what they said to it? I don't think so.
Right.
But just give it a while.
Yeah.
Just give it a little while, and at some point they'll come back around and realize what they needed. Right? So this is all acting out. We're still living right now as in the days of Kinsman Redeemer. Brother Branham's standing there, and I know I've expressed this before, but I just love it. He's standing there in the breach, right? Now, if you realize, here's what God's going to do, that he's going to have seven church ages, then he's going to open the seals and bring a rapture. So, physically, through time, he'd had seven church ages. Then there would be a time of the opening of the seals and a rapture.
Yeah.
That would be laid out in time. But he sends this end time one who is able to do this and willing to do this, willing to make a choice. And I'll say this, because remember, because thou hast chosen, and it's my way, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee.
Right.
Remember?
Right.
His choosing. So he was a prophet, could do it, and he chose to do it at his own choosing, but it was God's way.
Yeah, right.
See? And so God is going to had it all laid out where time, it came through seven church ages and then the time of opening seals and a rapture. And so now he sends this one who can do it and is a prophet and willing to do it. And through that ministry, he begins to act out. And the first thing he does, once that ministry gets established, is he takes us through seven church ages. And we got a book on it. He preached the seven church ages. And if you watch his ministry, this whole thing right there in the book of Revelation was unfolding. First three chapters, seven church ages, or the second and third chapter. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 is this kinsman redeemer coming to do his work.
Right.
And then chapter 6 is the opening of the seals, and it goes on from there. So this is the sequence that was going to come through. And so Brother Ram comes on the scene, and now God's going to act all this out through this one who's capable and willing to do it. And so first thing he does, he takes us through and he gives us the exposition of seven churches. Right?
Yeah.
And then at some point, a few years later, he comes to the place where now he knows and he feels led that those seals are coming. And in there, he preaches Kinsman Redeemer, and there's sermons there that you can see by the titles. This thing's moving. He's fixing to leave seven church ages, and now it's time. The sermons are calling for this Kinsman Redeemer to come forth. You can hear it in the titles.
Yeah.
Calling for this one to come forth. Because we need that book open. And to me, back in Pentecost, I wanted to know these things, these mysteries. I needed to know these truths. And as it were, I was weeping, as it were, to say, where is the person that knows these truths? Because what they're telling me is don't match the word. So I was crying and weeping. Where's this one who can open these truths to me that bring redemption? That's what was happening. I didn't know it at the time, but I look back now and I realize I remember a distinct thing going on in my mind back in Pentecost thinking about this. I got to have these truths. So he's going to do this, and so he preaches the seven church ages, and then sermons are kind of showing that we've arrived. We're at this time. Now we know what the church ages were, and now it's time for the seals. But before we can have seals, we got to have a kinsman redeemer. And he's even preaching sermons to indicate that. Yeah. And then so then he has the angels appear out at sunset and tells him to go back and preach the seals and that the Lord's going to open those seals up for him. And he goes back to preach it. And he comes out there, and he comes out there, and we're thinking, I think he does God in simplicity first, but he comes out and everybody thinks, okay, we're going to get the first seal, and he preaches a sermon called The Breach. What is he doing? He's letting you know there is a breach, that we can't just roll right out of seven church ages and go right on into the seven seals until we deal with this issue of this chasm. Something's got to happen to get us from that mentality and that lack of revelation of the Word and get us across into the land of the living where the Word is alive and we're just constantly revelated by the truth of Jesus Christ's presence among us. Right? Got to have something to get us across that. And so he comes out and he preaches this breach. And now I'm coming to the part that I like. Brother Branham, he's there and he's talking about this. He said, need a kinsman redeemer. And he said, so this angel there, we read it, this angel cries with a loud voice. Why do you use the cry with a loud voice? When you do it with a loud voice, it's because you want that voice to reach out far.
Right.
And the scripture said this angel cried with a loud voice. Yeah. Who is worthy? Now keep in mind, here's Brother Branham, and he is that angel.
Right.
He is that angel, but he's a man on earth. But he's a capable man. And he's a willing man to suffer all that he suffered to do what God wants.
Right.
So he's standing there as a man who's willing and capable, and he is that angel that's bringing to the bride these things, these revelations. He's bringing that to her, and he's standing there, and he's preaching, and he's already given to a seven church age exposition, and now it's the seven seals, but he can't go any further with those opening the seven seals until first we deal with this issue with the chasm that's between seven church ages and seven seals. And that issue to be dealt with is that that lamb has to come forth, a kinsman redeemer has to come forth, which he comes down through a man,
right,
and comes forth and opens those seven sealed book.
Yep.
Right? So this man is standing there, Brother Branham, and he says, he's reading all the scriptures, and he said, this angel, he cries with a loud voice, and Brother Branham says, oh my, maybe I just feel this way, but let him come forth. And you have to realize that right then, that night in Jeffersonville, right behind that pulpit, that angel we read in scriptures would call and his voice went into all those dimensions. That's when it happened right there when that prophet said, let him come forth. Maybe I just feel this way, but let him come.
Yeah.
And you know what happened? He came.
Amen.
He came in the next eye, that first seal, second seal, third seal, right on through. So these things came to pass then.
Amen.
A kinsman redeemer was on the spot bringing redemption.
Amen.
One who's been rejected.
Right.
Right. One who had to walk by himself with God. And yet God's using him to save us.
Amen.
The people who would, if it wasn't for a hunger that God had put in us, we'd probably be just like the rest of the world. We wouldn't see it. But he put a hunger in us to make us want it, to give us a desire for it, and thank God for it. So here's a man expressing deity, expressing the plan of redemption, but actually becoming and acting out another form of the of kinsman redeemer. Now what if these men, whether it was Abraham or Joseph, Moses, Jesus, the disciples, or Brother Branham, what if these men had disqualified themselves from being that kinsman redeemer? Would there be anybody redeemed? And the answer is no. It was important that these men be separated from the world.
Yeah.
It was important that these men had to suffer the ridicule. right? Because without a sacrifice, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So in our day, we've come to the place where when Seven Church is over with, and now we're standing here without this message coming and being rejected by the world, there is no redemption.
Right.
The very thing that condemns the world is what saves us. And God did that through so many ways. The thing that destroyed the people in Noah's day is the thing that lifted up his elect.
Yeah.
And it's that way always. This thing that's raising up, fixing to happen out here, that in the flesh people's afraid of, the very thing that destroys our enemy is what's going to lift us up.
That's right.
See? If we don't look through the eyes of the revelation of Jesus Christ, you will be fearful when you look out here at the news. And you hear everything. That will be the case. But my job is to cause you to dig in and take the word, what it says, and go with what it says. And if you'll look at it through the eyes of the word, you can lift up your heads and know that your redemption is drawing nigh. That God long ago started working with a redeemer for you.
Amen.
And what he did and what he suffered and everything that happened was for you.
Right.
Even when you didn't even know about it. I wasn't even born when those seals was opened. Right? Many of you weren't. But God was doing it then, and he didn't do it then just to come down here and find out that what he did then wasn't good enough and it failed. No, it was good enough. So we want to see it and say it like the word says it. And believe that whatever's happening before us is his word coming to pass. But if these men had not have lived that way, there wouldn't have been redemption. Now I'm saying that because each one of us now live in that mode where we are kinsman redeemer. There's somebody around us that we're kin to.
Yeah.
Somebody around us who doesn't agree with us. That if we'll stay true to the word, God will get them somehow. They have something to come back to in that hour of desperation when Pharaoh puts his fist on them. There will be something they can come to. They have to have something to come back to. You know, I was raised in Pentecost. I was around Brother Perryman, a very godly man. I ain't seen anybody match it in my own personal life, okay? A man of prayer and a man truly, as we made the plaque there, a man truly in whom was no guile. You'd be hard-pressed to ever hear that man say anything negative about anybody unless it might have been, you know, a politician or something like that. It wasn't. I'm talking about on a people. He was even his enemies he didn't criticize.
Yeah.
Okay? I was raised up around that. And I knew that man to be a man of prayer. I knew him to be a godly man. And when I got older and went my own way, like a sinner does, when God began to deal with me, where do you think my mind went to?
Yeah.
I went back to that godly man that I knew somewhere was praying each day and probably praying for me. But if during that time he had become corrupt and all kinds of filth come out on him, or if he had turned away from holiness and began to live like the rest of them, would I have had something to come back to, then his influence on me would have been ruined, and I couldn't have had nothing to come to. You see what I'm saying? I know God can do what he wants, but these things act out that way.
Right.
So we have to stay true to what we know is truth. And listen, if we're standing in a spot right now that we're not 100% confident that God can redeem by it, we better get to the right spot.
Amen.
Because there's people that we're kinfolk to that at some point they're going to need to come back to it, and we better have a position and a stance on the word that they can be redeemed by when they come back.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We are kinsman redeemer now. Redemption is always where the word is acting out. And where is the word acting? It's not with Brother Branham anymore. No. Now it's in the subject of what his ministry came to, which is the bride of Christ.
Right.
That bride of Christ is where redemption is now. So it's important that we stay true to this message. Take that home with you and think about that. We've got to stand in a place of righteousness. I sing that song, or we do sometimes. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right.
Right.
That's true. If we shun the wrong and do the right, stay in that position, then there's something that God can do through us, and he'll bring people back. But if we allow ourselves to be corrupted, then we're not. Then we've disqualified ourselves for being a kinsman redeemer, right? Because we had to be one to separate and be one who could and one who would. And we've got to be willing to suffer the reproach of this message.
Yeah.
We got to. I have people in my family that calls me a Branhamite. Now, I kind of like that. But yet then inside there's a certain portion of me that hurts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I said bittersweet last week. Mm-hmm. It's bittersweet. But if we look through the eyes of Revelation, it's needful for me to suffer rejection in order for something to happen for some of them people, whoever they are, that can be redeemed, in order for that to happen. God will lead people back to me. God will lead people back to you, and they'll find Christ by coming back to what he lived in you.
Yeah.
They'll come back to you, as it were, and lay at your feet. Them boys of Sister Hattie Wright, they were making fun of what she was standing for. But when grace struck their life, they went right back to Mama's feet, and that's where they found Christ.
Right
at the feet of the very one that lived what they were rejecting, believed what they were rejecting. You see what I'm saying?
Man.
And saints, we're so close. We never can tell when it's going to be, but we're by signs and events of the world, we're within weeks of the rest of those seven visions coming to pass. Those last two could be just within weeks or within a couple months. I don't know, but you understand, by the signs of the time, it's close. And when these things begin to come, we need to be in the position that people have something they can come to.
Yeah.
You know, when 9/11 happened, the next weekend, churches were full.
That's right.
All right. And I was thinking, you know, I know that this building in the past has had some termite problems, but I'm hoping it can support the groups that probably are going to come shortly. And it's not going to be strangers probably, but it's going to be people in our families, people who've perhaps visited here or something like that. It might be strangers, but my point is that we have to be ready, whether it's in this church or just in our own lives, at the job or something. Take a stance that people can come to. And I don't mean taking a stance with a politician. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking a stance with the living word, because that's the only thing we can hold to in this hour.
Yeah.
Let all the stuff in the natural play out. Do whatever happens. But first, let's take a stand with the word so that people can come, that we can be instrumental in them, their redemption, and they can have something to come back to.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a worthy position and call of God for him to use us. But we have to be willing to pick that cross up and bear it daily.
Amen.
Be rejected.
Right.
And I'll close by mentioning just one more thing. Brother Branham, he said it was called a goal. You look that up, and there's another thing about the goal. He's not just a kinsman redeemer. But there's another side of the goal that's laying there in scriptures, and that he is the avenger of blood. You read about that in the scriptures, the avenger of blood. Well, that's the goal. When somebody killed somebody else, a next of kin could pursue, he could become the avenger of blood. He could pursue that person. Of course, that person could go to a city of refuge, and he could stay behind the city walls of city of refuge until the death of the high priest. And then he could come out free, and then nobody could touch him. But it was legal for an avenger to go after that one. He could go after that one who had killed his loved one.
Yeah.
Right? That's scripture. This is the goal. The same one who can go and help a brother who's been sold into slavery or lost his land or whatever, same one that does that is also the one that can bring prosecution upon those that have done wrong to their brethren. Think about it. So this lamb who comes to bring redemption can also be a lion.
Right?
this bride who now acts out as one with him can now become judge. Right? It's in the scriptures. This is the goal. But in these cases, this kinsman redeemer, it's not about him. It's about the one in need. Yeah. It's about the one that's been done wrong. About the one who's made mistakes and got themselves in trouble.
Yeah.
Right? It's about them. That's the whole purpose of being here as a kinsman. It's not so much that we would be in trouble. That's not. No. We're the ones that God has done something in our life that we can help somebody else, and it's about helping them. Going on their behalf and restoring them and going after their enemy who's done them wrong. You see what I mean? Actually becomes like the part of the prosecuting attorney. Somebody to represent this weak one and go before the system or whatever to help those that have been in trouble. But the requirement would be that you had to be a kinsman.
Yeah.
And you had to walk in such a way that you could do it. You had to be able to do it, and you had to be willing to do it.
Right.
And you had to be kin. God's not going to use me to save out the world out there. But he will use me, and he will use you to touch those that you rub shoulders with.
Right.
And it's on his timeline, not yours.
Right.
Until that time comes, we suffer the reproach, but saints, for sure, let's make sure we stay with the word.
Amen.
So we'll be able to. Amen? So you probably didn't think when I was going to talk about kinsman redeemer that I'd be bringing it down and making it in your lap that you're the kinsman redeemer now. Because redemption is working right now in the bride of Christ. And the world doesn't know that this very one who the world rejects and is against, that God is expressing redemption, that same one, if they're not redeemed, that same one will become judged by the same ones. Judged by the bride. Because remember, the last age, to them that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I have overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. Amen. So the takeaway this morning is what I really want to encourage is stay with the word. Stop and ask yourself, have I taken a stance in my daily walk, in what I stand for, what I do each day, in the rules of my house, the standard I hold at work, you know, whatever, every aspect of your life, have I taken a stance with the word in such that truly those who would come to me could be helped? Because if I'm compromising, I can't help them.
Right.
That's the takeaway this morning. Amen. As Brother Daniel prayed this morning in his prayer opening service, exactly what I'm talking about. Just come, Lord. Just have your way and use us. Amen. To become the goel. Amen. Kinsman Redeemer. Let's let the musicians come. I am so glad that God used the men that he's used throughout the ages to do what they've done, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ being the ultimate one. But that he actually comes, and that work of Christ has come again in our day, lived out through a man who was rejected and brought great redemption to you and I by that seventh seal book open. And now it's in you and I. And God wants to work through you and I to touch lives, to be there for them as they need it.
Amen.
Let's bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the end of the service this morning, we want to give thanks to you, honor and glory to you for your word. Lord, as we've preached this morning, Lord, we've laid a standard, Lord, that we want to attain to, and we know we can't do it in ourselves, Lord, but through our surrender to you and through your tutorship of your Holy Spirit and your word to lead us and guide us, Lord, we know that we can be what you have shown here in the scriptures today. Lord, we want to be faithful to the word that you've called us to, and to be a help to those around us. And Lord, I pray that you would give each one of us the grace to set and reestablish and re-look over our lives, turn over the stones and find anything that, Lord, that's amiss there that would not be something that could be used in redemption in this hour. And Lord, remove it. Give us the will and the desire to see it and have a desire to lay it before you, Lord, that you could remove them out of the way, that all that would be present in our life that others could see is just Christ only. Pray, God, that you'd help us in this way, in this manner. We commit this time in your hands. I ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Tremendous times that we live in. I was picking a song together. I was telling Mary, you know, that I mentioned it here so many times that there's so many things Brother Brandon brought before us over and over there just in his latter years of his ministry that we're looking at now. And I ran onto a quote yesterday where he was talking and he said, how many knows there's been all kinds of stuff with voter fraud already?
Yeah.
And I ran onto a quote and he said, they proved that when someone voted for Nixon, it put a mark there for Kennedy too. He said, and they proved it, and did they do anything about it? No. There it is again.
Yeah.
He talked about black rioting. And you know, and he talked about Russia coming to power, and he talked about our government becoming corrupt, all of them, both parties. Do you realize that probably 2 years ago, or 10 years, I'll say 10 years ago, if you had told people that both parties, the Democrats and Republicans, were corrupt, probably people wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah.
But he said they were, and so since he, being a prophet, said they were, then that has to come out. And since a certain candidate's been running on the Republican ticket, throughout all that, you can't tell the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans by their actions, the way they treat that one man. All of them treating him the same, horribly. And all the corruption that's come out. So everything he said that he told us is before us. It's in the news. It's right in front of us. And so he talked about voter fraud. And here it is. All of these things. And people just walk right on along like it's, well, it's really not, you know, he was just some man. No, he was a prophet. He was a goal. A go-between. Amen? But that goal becomes judge.
Yeah.
Right? This generation is fixing to get a whipping. We want to make sure we're making the right choice, that what we stand with is the Word of God. It's like Brother Tim said a while ago, you have to have your head stuck in the sand or something like that, mm-hmm, to not realize where we're at.
Right.
Amen. If the same word has told us these things are coming, that same word told us to get ready because God's going to take you out of here in a body change. And I'm going to get ready.
Amen.
So let's cast off the things of the world that's hindering us. Let's hook to this word, believe it, stand for it.
Have your way.
As we pray.
sometimes the Lord's no is better than his yes if his perfect will is no.
Yeah.
Saints, we live in an hour right now where we don't need to be walking in permissive will.
Yeah.
We really need to be walking in perfect will. Amen. So we can say, have your way. Holy Spirit, right? Have your way. Mm-hmm. As we wait and as we pray, you know, we should pray every day, right? We should be praying. And let me take this in just a moment and tell you, pray. Pray for your safety, for your children's safety, for people's safety. There are still people out there that I think still needs to hear the message. And we just live in an hour where really things could really be really bad. And I'm just saying, pray for your for the people. Do you know the scriptures actually say for you to pray for your kings? Mm-hmm. Do you know that? I know Brother Bram said he didn't pray for America more because they could because they would repent. But you know, scripture says, pray for your leaders. So that you could live a peaceable, quiet life. See, yeah. A life that we can be what God has called us to be without trouble.
Right.
We live in an hour where we should really be doing that. Okay. And just pray God's will be done. Amen. We don't want to circumvent anything. Say, Lord, just have your way. Mm-hmm. Amen. And whatever it is, it'll be better for his people.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. As we sing again, you're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.